It's Livin' La Vida Loca.
Okay.
Just like our next guest, you hear him right here every Friday. And he's so good that he's got his own intro music. It's John Davis. You hear him on Denver Fan. Read him at DenverFan.com. You hear him right here on The Fan. You'll hear him before Broncos Giants with Nate Jackson on Sunday morning. JD, that game last night, man. Nick was excited about it, and I was like, wow, I wish the Broncos could do that.
Yeah, that's. I tweeted it last night. Ever since 2016, every single football game I watch that the Broncos aren't playing in, I find myself going, I wish that guy was our quarterback. And did a bunch of that last night. Quarterback envy. It was. I will say this. Here's the one great thing about watching Tom Brady. One, he's not with the Patriots. But two, it's like when we had John Elway, and you're losing late in the game, and you know he's going to go in there and win it, and the other team knows he's going to go in there and win it.
Yep.
And so Brady, when it was a minute 25 last night, did anybody think Dallas was going to win that game?
No.
Not at all. No, we all knew it was happening. That's what it was like with John. It was like, oh, they gave him a minute? Oh, we're going to win this. I have quarterback envy. I get really jealous watching. Boy, I'm jealous of watching a Mike McCarthy team. That's how bad it's gotten.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, John, and watching some of the game last night, I was telling Cecil that I see a lot of things that the Broncos can actually take advantage of. One of those things was the fact of, hey, Drew Lock struggled with, 11 personnel, 3-by-1, and Pat Shurmur didn't set him up. But last night, we saw both teams utilize that formation and personnel grouping to be successful. So why is it that the Broncos can't use that same formation and ideology with Teddy Bridgewater?
Because Teddy Bridgewater's not Dak Prescott or Tom Brady. Even though Vic Fangio tried to loosely throw around a Tom Brady comparison a few weeks ago with Teddy Bridgewater, it's the effectiveness of the quarterback. Certain things work because the other team has to believe it works. And with the Broncos, I don't know if people believe it'll work with Teddy Bridgewater. I think you'll see success with Teddy early on in the year with the Broncos. And then once there's some film on how he works with this team, I think it'll catch up to him pretty quick. So no disrespect to Teddy. He's not Dak. He's not Tom Brady. The other team has to believe you can really step on him with the formations you run and with the things you do. And I don't think a lot of teams are buying into Teddy Bridgewater. And Teddy's going to have to be the one to go out and prove it to him. And he's only thrown 15 touchdown passes. Figure out, how many touchdowns did Tom Brady throw last night? Was it four?
15, seemed like.
15. Yeah. Tom Brady threw over one-third of Teddy Bridgewater's career high last night. So that's why it works with those guys and it doesn't work with Teddy.
He is John Davis here joining Nick and Cecil on a big, fun Friday. Now, we opened the phone lines a little bit earlier, John, and multiple fans said that they believe more now than they used to. They need to see it. It needs to happen quickly, but they believe more now than the past couple of years. You're the biggest Broncos fan I know. Do you agree?
Boy, I don't mean
why
this.
Why is that a struggle? That seems like a struggle for you. Like, you believe more, kind of.
Because it's been like this every year since Peyton retired, and I got to see it. It's on paper, and I wrote about it at DenverFan.com. Teddy being, and it's bigger than Teddy, but this roster being better is a narrative until they prove it. Teddy being trustworthy and safe, it's a narrative until he goes out and proves it. This roster's good on paper. On paper, they're better than the Saints. But I don't think anybody thinks the Broncos are better than the Saints this year. And so they've got to go out and prove it to me. Like, I've got them scoring 17 points this weekend. And the reason is, until they can prove to me they can score 20 points consistently, I'm not going to pick them to score 20 points. There's a lot to like. There's a lot of young guys to like right now. And it's not just the Judys and the Suttons and Simmons. It's Draymond Jones. There's guys like, it's Javonte Williams. There's reason to be excited to watch the Broncos. And Cecil, as you regularly pointed out, hopefully there's some things that happen where people are willing to go buy a jersey of a guy again.
Right.
Because we don't see that. Like, who's the jersey? We already got Vaughn. We all have Vaughn.
You have Vaughn Miller jerseys already.
Yeah. So does somebody step up and make you go buy a jersey? Is this team hopefully is in the position now, and this is why I'm optimistic. Pat Surtain, Jerry Jeudy, these are guys that if you don't care about the Broncos, and they're playing, you're saying, hold on, let's watch the Broncos. They got a couple guys here worth watching. I think that's why I'm more excited that even if they lose, it's at least better and not boring to watch. I think they're less boring. I don't know if they win a lot more games, but I think they're much less boring to watch this year.
All right, John, let's fast forward for just a second. Right, look in your crystal ball. Sunday after the game, the narrative will be what?
They beat a team they should have beat, but they were ugly doing it. That's what I think the narrative is going to be. I think it'll be that, yeah, the Broncos beat the Giants, but they didn't look as dominant as they should have.
John Davis joining us here. It's Nick and Cecil on a big, fun Friday. And I write about my game plan every single week. And the first week is always weird because we don't have film to study on these guys. But we don't have film of Saquon Barkley from the preseason at all. So I think the wild card, because I was on with Schlereth and Evans this morning, and Evans pressed me on, you know, give me a reason why the Giants win. And I said, well, Saquon Barkley is a superstar if he's healthy. We don't know his health, though. So is right. Barkley kind of the X factor for you, John? Because Denver should win. But if Barkley's Barkley, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah, he is. Did you see that picture of his legs that came out a few months ago?
Quadzilla.
It was like, oh, my. Like, how is that? Like, how did he get lucky enough to get that body and I wear size 28 waist jeans? Like, how is that? But it's he's absolutely the X factor. A great running back on a bad team. Remember Leonard Fournette against the Broncos 2 years ago when the Jaguars came into town? Ran for like 200 yards. Remember, we're going to go back a ways. Corey Dillon, you know, however many years ago, had the Bengals beating the Broncos.
Walter Payton's single game rushing record, and I hate that defense for allowing that to happen.
I think Peter Warwick took a reverse like 70 yards in that game too. That was the worst game I ever watched in my entire life. But it was, he's absolutely the X factor. And even if he's on the field, kind of going back, and Saquon doesn't have to have the ball 30 times. If he has a couple runs where he looks good, it's Terrell Davis and Mike Shanahan. It's Shanahan told Terrell Davis, "Hey, I just need you out there," or they're not going to believe we're going to do anything. So Saquon, how effective he can be is the wild card. His presence on the field is going to freeze the Broncos defense, period. But if he has a couple runs that do well, Saquon is absolutely going to neutralize a lot. He is 100% the X factor, because when that guy's on, outside of Derrick Henry, he's the best in the league.
John, who could be that surprise player? And the reason I ask that, because when we see the first game of the season, there's always talks about the big name guys, but there's always a surprise that snuck up on us that we never really saw coming. So who could possibly be that guy for the Broncos on Sunday?
That's a great question. That's actually something I've said been missing from the Broncos the last few years, is who's that guy that steps up? You know, Shelby did it. It's a guy that I made fun of on this show. It's the tight end, Salbert. Is that his name?
Eric Salbert,
Eric Salbert. That's that guy. Hey, in preseason, you kept hearing his name. In training camp, yeah, I made fun of him for spiking the ball. And then he went out, and I think when Teddy found him in the Seahawks game, remember that pass Teddy found him inside the five?
Yep.
I think that was the best pass we saw from Locke or Bridgewater all camp, all preseason. But Salbert's a guy that just every time I turned around, there he was, making a play. And with Noah Fant not being healthy, Noah Fant still needing to kind of show that he can, and you guys are better at correcting this than I am, you know, kind of move his hips quicker off the line.
Right.
You know, he's good in space, but he's not good in a phone booth. You know, Salbert, I think, has got a way to kind of get himself on the field and make plays. That's who I'm watching, is Eric Salbert, tight end.
John Davis joining us here. Check out his work at DenverFan.com. You hear him right here on The Fan, including our Sunday pre-game coverage. Get your coffee ready, John, because you're on early.
Oh, yeah.
And we're
on
after you and Nate Jackson. And then, of course, D-Mac, Mike Evans, in our the world's largest Broncos pregame show. You want to tune in to Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan. JD, usually I finish with a hip-hop question, and I've got a million that I could ask you. But we sit on the eve of the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. And Nick and I will go through our memories a little bit later in the program, in that, tragic day that we all endured. But I'm just curious. I don't believe I've ever heard you tell, the story, because it's one of those where were you moments. So as we reflect on 9/11, what were your memories of that day?
Well, it was. I was at the Broncos-Giants game the night before, okay. which was the inaugural game at Invesco. Ed McCaffrey broke his leg.
Yes. That was the talk. That was everyone, you know, that's like, what oh, my God, Ed McCaffrey broke his leg.
Yeah, that was what we were talking about. I was a senior in high school, and it was I was in first period, and somebody came in and said they flew up. It was this girl. And she's like, they flew a plane into the World Trade. I was like, what are you talking about? And then I went to second period. We turned on the TV, and it was like, oh, my God. Like, it was so crazy. And honestly, to tie it into hip-hop, that day Jay-Z's Blueprint album came out. And I remember the 9/11 thing was yeah, that came out that day. And the 9/11 thing, honestly, was so jarring because I was 17, and I remember us looking at this, and you're 17. You don't always know how things work. We were like, I was like, am I going to get drafted? Honestly, it's like, right. I was like, are they going to bring back the draft? Am I going to have to join the military? So it was unbelievable what we were doing. So we went and we left school, you know, cause it was like, this is, and teachers were not really teaching that day. You know, they were like, this is more important. You know, yeah. We could talk about math anytime. This is big time. So just kind of talking with my friends that day, being like, what's next? You know, we're seniors in high school, and this event is changing our lives, and we don't know how it's going to affect us. And my best friend, Sergio, who I talk about all the time, it made him join the military. He got into the Air Force Academy, and it was the reason he joined. So that day changed my best friend's life, the course of his life forever, and he did it, and he served overseas. So just a really... You know, it's weird when you think back to talk about something 20 years later and the whole thing comes back to you so vividly. That's how important of a day it really was. So, yeah, that was where I was when the tragedy happened.
Well, John, after that, I have nothing else to kind of follow that up with because Cecil and I get into it later on. But anytime that I'm remembered of the tragedy, it's always emotional for me. Because I was there.
And, right, you with the Jets, right?
Yeah, I was there, you know, with the Jets. So for me, it is much respect to the men and women that fight for our safety both home and abroad and for all those individuals who were lost in that horrific tragedy. My heart goes out to those family members even 20 years later because I couldn't even imagine what it was like for them to hear the bad news of their family members. So, man, I'll just leave it like that, brother. And I'll just say, enjoy the game on Sunday. Looking forward to your commentary and the show before we come in. And Cecil and I back you guys up. So enjoy the weekend and go Broncos.
Go Broncos. All right. Thanks a lot, fellas. I'll see you Sunday morning.
And there we have him, John Davis, on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. You hear him on The Fan.